The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
We often don't understand ourselves because we don't really understand our makeup. You look at yourself in the mirror and you think that's all there is, but there's much more. There's an inside part of you as well as an outside part. The inside part is your spirit, the place where God lives, and your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now, your soul doesn't really tell you anything about God. It tells you all about you. That soul part of us has to be renewed, and God wants to eventually work with us to conquer that area where it's turned over to Him, and He can actually not only dwell in our spirit, but can actually move out and begin to dwell in that soulish part of you too and have control of that. Then you have a body. So you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. And each one of those areas can put pressure on you. God never pressures us in a wrong way, but we will definitely feel that pressure of the Holy Spirit to do the right thing. At the same time, we'll sense our soul and our body pressuring us to do another thing. That's why you can be laying in bed in the morning. You know you should get up. You know it's time to get up. You're thinking about all the things that you need to do, but your body just feels like it weighs 1,000 pounds and like you just don't want to move at all. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to get up. And you're so tempted to just roll over and go back to sleep, but then there's another part of you that knows. You see, with our fleshly parts, we feel and we think and we want. But with our spirit, we know. The person who's born again and has God inside, you begin to know things by the Spirit. You begin to discern things. You know things that you don't know how you know them. When God comes to dwell in our spirit, life begins to change radically, and actually it can be pretty confusing for a while. There are spiritual Christians, although not nearly enough, and there are carnal Christians. There are baby Christians, and there are mature Christians. We all start out as babies. Many do grow up and they go on to become mature sons and daughters of God with all the privileges released to them that God wants us to have. But sadly, there are many who never grow up. They just stay in that baby stage, living according to what they want and what they feel. Well, tonight the title of my message is Payday is Coming. Because whatever we sow, we will ultimately reap. If we remain in that baby stage of Christianity, always just doing what we want, what we think, and what we feel, we will reap that. And we really won't like what we reap, and we'll probably blame the devil, and we'll probably blame people, but the truth is, we just never got around to doing what we should have been doing to start with. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
How many of you know we love to blame all of our problems on somebody else? If we can't find a person, then it's the devil's fault. However, the truth of the matter is nobody else is in charge of your happiness except you. I'm doing better than you're acting. I said nobody else is in charge of your happiness except you. We always think somebody else ought to make us happy, but really, we need to learn how to do what God wants us to do. So if you sow wrong things, you're not going to like the result, but if you sow right things, if you sow right things, oh, my. Woo, honey. You got a reward coming from God. Payday is coming either way, but I'd like you to consider tonight what kind of payday you want to get. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Now, if you've been sowing a lot of wrong stuff, I hope you get a little reverential fear tonight and you turn some things around quickly. I hope you leave thinking, uh-oh, payday's coming. I better get some things changed around here real quick. Maybe you're at a crisis time in your life. And you know, crisis is a great opportunity to make a decision to change something. Crisis lets us know that things aren't going too well. And it's an opportunity to make a change and start doing things a different way so we can get a different result. However, if you've been doing the right thing for a long, 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 long time, and maybe you haven't seen the result yet that you'd like to see, Tonight should be very encouraging to you, because I'm here to tell you that when you do what's right, you will ultimately have a great reward from God. I can't tell you exactly how long you'll have to do the right thing, but I can tell you that everybody who ends up with victory has to do the right thing for sometimes a very long period of time before you begin to see right results. Our financial situation didn't turn around when we first began to give more. And there were many times when I thought, well, this isn't doing us one bit of good. I mean, the more we give, seems like the less we have. But I came to a crossroads in my life where I had to make a decision one day that I was going to do what was right if I never saw one result. I remember throwing myself across my daughter's bed and crying my eyes out because we had just been so broke for so long. And a friend of mine came by and was telling me how God had blessed him. And I was pretty tired of hearing how God was blessing everybody else, to be honest. I was trying to be happy for him, but it just made me think, well, God, when are you going to do something for me? And I had a decision to make. And I went and threw myself across her bed. And I remember laying there crying, and I made a decision. I said, God, we are going to tithe and give until the very last day that we are here on this earth. If I never see one result, I'm going to do it just because you said to do it. And you know what happened? From that day forward, we began to prosper. Things in our finances began to change. A little bit here, a little bit there. And it's been amazing what God has done. Sometimes the enemy will just play around with you until you make a firm enough decision. And I don't think we should do what's right just to get something. I think we need to get beyond that. I think we need to do what's right because it's right. And we need to be determined that we're going to do it forever. And when you make that kind of a quality decision, then you can just say to yourself, do what you want to, devil. Payday is coming. Everybody likes Friday. And I tell you, I don't know if it's Monday or in your life or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday morning, but I do know that payday is coming. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. So then, whatever you desire that others would do to and for you, even so do also to and for them. For this sums up the law and the prophets. We call this the golden rule. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. Give away what you want to get. And I think that this scripture is much, much, much more amazing than what we even begin to think it is. Do you realize what this is saying? That God has given us a system of sowing and reaping, which gives us a certain amount of authority over how things are going to turn out in our life. He says, I set before you life and death. Choose life that you and your descendants might live. We're free people. God has set us free, and that means we have the ability to make our own choices. But according to those choices that we make, that's how we're going to reap in our life. The law of sowing and reaping starts in Genesis, and it goes all throughout the Word of God. Literally everything that we do, every word that we speak, every thought that we think, every attitude that we have is a seed that we sow. And so maybe if you don't like some of the things that have been coming up in your life as a harvest, maybe instead of blaming the devil and getting mad at everybody else, maybe you should take a look at what kind of seed you've been sowing throughout your life. Because I happen to believe that the Word of God is true. Now, if we've sown a lot of bad seed, we can't just sow one good seed and unturn all the bad seeds that we've sown. I had a horrendous mess in my life when I got serious in my walk with God. I was a Christian, by the way, a long time before I ever got serious. Hello, is anybody in the house tonight? I said I was a Christian a long time, a church-going Christian. I even served on a couple of committees at church. I was a Christian a long time before I became a serious Christian. I think I was a little more committed to church than I was to God. Can anybody say amen? Amen? Sometimes we can actually hide from God in church. Did you know that? We can actually stay so busy doing churchy stuff that we don't even have time to talk to God. I wasn't spending any time with God. I was going through the rituals of doing what I thought that I should do. But from the time I got really serious with God, and to be serious with God means that you give His Word first place in your life. And you study the Word, not just when you happen to have time and it fits into your schedule, but you give it a place of priority. And you put God first in your life. And you always have time for God because you've gotten smart enough to know that if you don't have time for God, nothing else, nothing else is going to work out right in your life. Let me give you a new plan. Don't try to work God into your schedule. Work your schedule around God. Amen?
Well, God, I'm trying to fit you in.
How ridiculous is that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. Amen? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. We don't have to chase after stuff. We don't have to try to talk God into giving us good things. All we've got to do is put Him first, and it just begins to happen in our life. Well, once I became a serious Christian, I began to study the Word and spend regular time with God. Little by little, not all at once, little. I got to emphasize, little by little and slowly, things began to change. And I'm going to tell you something. I hope it doesn't discourage you, but I'd rather know the truth and what I'm really going to face than for somebody to tell me a bunch of fairy tales that never work. And after 5 years of what I thought was a serious walk with God, I can sit here and tell you that I didn't really feel like I'd made hardly any progress at all. You're like, I've only been at this a year and I'm already about dead. You're telling me after 5 years I'm not going to see any change? Well, see, the point was I had so many problems. I had so many things wrong in my life that even though things were changing, I just still had so far to go that it just seemed like nothing was changing. Well, one of the things I've learned over the years is don't just look at how far you have to go. Look at how far you've come. Don't be afraid to take an inventory of how far you've come. And don't just get together with your friends and talk about all the messes in your life and everything that still needs to happen and has to happen and hasn't happened. Talk with them about what God has done in your life. I mean, if you can only find one little thing God's done in your life, magnify it, make it the biggest thing that you talk about. And the more you focus on what God's doing, the less you're going to stress over what still needs to be done. I want you to start to celebrate the progress that you're making in life, and it will energize you for the rest of the journey that you still have to go. But if you received Christ last night, or you're going to receive Christ tonight, or you've been trying to walk with God for a year and you had a big mess in your life, maybe you don't feel like you've made much progress. You don't overturn a whole field of bad seed, a whole lifetime of bad seed, just with one decision. But every right decision you make overturns one of the wrong decisions that you made in your life. Every right word that you speak, every right confession that you make, every right thought that you think overturns something that you did wrong in your life. So I want you to make a decision tonight if you're in for the long haul or not. And I want you to decide if you're going to do what's right for the rest of your life just because it's right, or if you're just trying to pull a few little magic charms . Well, God, I just don't understand why this happened to me. I mean, I go to church and I give, and you know, and I got the tapes and the T-shirt and the CD and the DVD, and I just don't understand. What you should be saying is, you know, God, I don't understand this, but I trust you, and I know you got a plan for my life, and there's something in this for me. Something good is going to come out of this. I'm going to learn something, and I'm going to grow. So I put myself in your hands, God. And you know, the first thing you need to do when you have trouble is keep acting the same way you would if you didn't have any trouble. I'm thinking about writing a book someday called What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. Amen? And one of the first things you should do when you don't know what to do is act the same way you would if you didn't have a problem. Now that's what mature men and women of God do. You reap what you sow. So some of you are going to make some decisions tonight. Some of you have got some relationships that are really sour, and it's not all the other person's fault. Now let's just pretend right now that I'm hearing from God, okay? And that maybe I'm being a mouthpiece for God tonight. And don't you sit there and think about all the people you wish would have come that needed this message. You're here and you need it. Some of you got some problems in relationships simply because you haven't sown good seed in relationship. You wonder why people don't encourage you, and yet you've never bothered to encourage anybody. You've been a fault finder. See, now half the people are glad they're in the other building. You know, I remember one time saying to God regarding my relationship with Dave, when am I ever going to get anything out of this? And he said, when are you going to put something into it? See, we think the other person ought to do all the doing and they ought to be the one that makes us happy, and yet we fail to look at what we're not doing that maybe God would have us to do. I'll just throw this out and you can do what you want to with it. If you got a marriage that's not going the way you'd like it to, why don't you make a commitment to start encouraging that person that you're married to? Make them feel like they are the most important thing on the face of the earth. Become a servant, even though it might give your flesh the creepy crawlies. Do it in faith unto God. And I'm telling you what, if you will, payday will come. You'll begin to get from that person what you want, but not if you don't do any sowing. You can't reap out of a field that you haven't sown into. We're always waiting for everybody else to do the right thing first. Well, I will if you will. Well, you know, you're the one here in church tonight. So that means that gives you a greater responsibility. You know what? The one who knows the most has to do what's right first. Uh-oh, I better say that again. Rewind. The one who knows the most has to do the right thing first. You know, you might have to treat somebody right for 5 years before you see them change one bit. Well, I just can't hang in there that long. I'm just gonna... I've told you, Dave treated me great for 3 years while I acted just like a complete jerk. I mean, I might have had a few good days here and there, but they were far and few between, I'll tell you. But when he married me, he made a long haul commitment. Amen? And as he stuck with it, and I saw his witness and his stability and his kindness and the fruit that he had in his life, then the Word of God didn't just become a sermon to me that somebody was preaching. I saw it actually working in somebody's life. And I tell you, there's somebody in your life that needs to not just hear your testimony, they need to see your testimony. They don't need to just see you going to church, they need to see you be in the church. They just don't need to see you coming home with a bunch of Joyce Meyer books. They need to see you read them and then act like you read them after you read them. It amazes me the people that tell me, I've got all your CDs and DVDs and every book you've written. And then after I know them a week or two, I think, well, have you read any of them? You know, just because you got a big spiritual library, that don't mean nothing. You know, it wouldn't matter to me if I stayed on this one scripture all night. I want you to get this. Do unto others. We read this stuff too fast and we go on to something else and we just don't get it. What kind of power is this giving us in our lives? Do you want people to appreciate you? Then start appreciating everybody you meet. Do you want people to compliment you? Then start sowing compliments everywhere you go. When people give you a gift, do you want them to give you a really nice gift, something you'd really like to have? Then start giving nice gifts. Don't buy the cheapest thing you can find. Give people good stuff. Amen. You know, in the early days of my walk with God, when I was trying to learn how to give beyond just my tithe, I started giving away some of my clothes, and one day the Holy Ghost started dealing with me, and he said, why don't you quit acting like you're such a great giver, taking all this old stuff out of your closet that you haven't had on in 5 years? He said, those people are doing you a favor taking that junk off your hands. If you want to really give, why don't you get something out of there you like and give it away? Oh my gosh, we're having too much fun tonight. Woo, hallelujah. I had a new dress one time. God told me to give it away. I said, that can't be God. That dress is new. Besides that, I bought a pair of earrings that match that dress. And I felt like the Holy Ghost said, well, I was going to let you keep the earrings, but if it's a problem, give that to her too. Yeah, I said, that can't be God. That dress is new. How many of you are with me tonight? Do unto others. Do you realize how radically you could change your life with one decision here tonight? By the grace of God, I'm going to walk out of this place and I'm going to treat people the way I want to be treated. I'm going to talk to them the way I want to be talked to. I'm going to think about them the way I want people to think about me. And don't just think you can try it for 3 hours. Don't you get up in the morning and do one nice thing and not get a result and say, well, that doesn't work, praise the Lord. No, you make a commitment. I'm going to do what's right till the day God takes me out of here, even if I never get a right result. That's the kind of commitment God is talking about. You do what's right, not to get a result, but you do what's right because it's result right, and then you will get a result because that's just the way God works. You reap what you sow. So whatever you want people to do to and for you, even so do to and for them. We can't wait to feel like doing what's right to do what's right. We do what's right because it's right. We can't live according to the way we think and what we want. And I can well remember as a Christian waking up in the morning, laying in bed, because the enemy wants to get in your brain early. Sometimes the way that that day starts is the way it goes all day. So what happens in the morning is important. That's why now I've gotten smart enough. I get up, I get my coffee, I go lock myself in my room, and I don't come out till I can be nice. All day. That takes a while. If I don't get that time with God, I am not going to act right. But I remember waking up in the morning, and I'd lay in my bed, and I would try to figure out how I could get Dave to do what I wanted him to that day. Maybe it was a Sunday and he liked to watch football on Sunday, and I didn't like that because I didn't like football. So, of course, if I didn't like something, I didn't want anybody in the house to like it. Come on. You stand there and laugh at me, but you're exactly like me. You just get to keep your stuff to yourself. I don't. I got to tell the whole world mine. And so I'm laying there one morning, and I'm thinking, well, what about me? When Dave's going to go play, he's going to go watch football today, and what about me? And the kids I'm going to cook and clean, and they're going to eat it and just leave the mess. And what about me? Nobody ever does anything for me. I do all the work here. What about me? And the Holy Ghost began to talk to me. He said, you know what? You remind me of some little robot. It's like the devil comes, and he just winds you up every morning with all these wrong, selfish, self-centered thoughts. And when he gets done with your brain and you put your feet on the floor, this is what I see all day. What about me? 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 What All right, I've done the robot for Louisiana. But you know what? I was getting a payday for all that selfish behavior. You know what I was getting? No joy, depression, sadness, gloom. I'll tell you what you get when you start treating people right. You get joy, and joy unspeakable. And it's, you don't get it from your circumstances, you get it from inside. Because when we start acting the way God wants us to act, that joy comes to us. This talks about the broad path and the narrow path. So few people ever make it all the way through the wilderness and live in the promised land. So few. Well, we hear that the message of Matthew 7:12 is the golden rule in life. And it simply says, whatever you desire that others would do to you, do unto them. It's another way of saying that we're going to reap what we sow. Payday is coming, but you can decide what kind of payday it's going to be by making right decisions now. The more you do right, the more you treat people right, eventually you're going to reap that right harvest in your life. And I do admit that sometimes you have to treat somebody else right for a while before they get the message and start treating you right. But the good news is the more you do that's right, the more joy you're going to have released in your heart. Well, today we're offering 4 hours of teaching called Why Do I Do the Things I Do? And I'm sure that we all ask that question at many different times. And also John Maxwell's book, 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. Now, this is about your own personal spiritual growth. That's what we want to help you with today. I believe it is very important that we should want to grow, and also that we know that we can grow and God will help us. Thank God we're not just stuck where we're at. You know, I'm glad that God cares enough about us that He won't ever leave us alone, but He's always helping us grow to the next level. And so I want to encourage you today as we finish off the program that God loves you, your sins are forgiven, He's got a great plan for your life, He's never going to leave you nor forsake you, and you can do whatever you need to do this day through Christ who strengthens you.
You Are Here means to me I can touch people's lives that I would never even see or know. I want to do what I can do to make a difference. And through my partnership, I'm doing things I could never do. But because I partner with Joyce and she's there, I'm there.
Well, you certainly don't have to look very hard these days to find things to worry about. If you turn on the news for even 5 minutes, you can feel like the world is just spinning out of control. That's why I'm so excited about my new devotional, Trusting God Day by Day. These devotions will help you change your focus from your circumstances to the truth that's in God's Word. You know, it's time for us to enter into the peace that God has made available to us where we can enjoy our lives. And that comes only from trusting God day by day.
The proceeding was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.